Good to see everybody out this afternoon, this evening. It's always wonderful to come together, to study, to worship. It's always great to be here with you. Last Sunday morning, I had talked about God's love going forth and pointed out how God loves us, has loved us before we existed, loves all, and just simply talked about His love. I want to continue on that point this evening and talk about God's love again, but talk about it in a different mindset of not just focused on God's love, but God's love in a certain way. God's love into the point that He is willing to fight for us. God's love in fighting. That He truly loves us because He's willing to do so much. He shows that love. And that He is willing to fight for us. So we might sit back and think that when we talk about love, that it does not mean fighting. Or sometimes the other things that we might get caught up in is jealousy. But we know God is a jealous God. It goes right along with God being zealous. And so I want to look at a few things throughout the Word of God to show that God loves us. And that He's willing to fight for us. And that He's willing to assist us and help us to fight the good fight also. And so to start off with this is that God has always fought for His people. And to the point that we can study many examples as we are right now studying the Old Testament and looking at many things that show us that God was always there for His people. In Genesis, if you open up your Bible to Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. In Genesis chapter 15, and reading there in verse 1, it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward.'" God telling him not to be afraid, because God is going to protect him. God is going to be his shield. And there are many examples, and I'm not going to take the time to look at all the examples. Just to simply refer to them. Of course, we know that we've studied these things in the past as we went through the book of Judges, and as we've gone through in just a short part here into the Samuel, and as we study Joshua, we went through and go through those things to see that God was always there for His people. God was always there fighting for His people. You go to Exodus, and we can study from here. We already saw that God said that He'd be with Abraham, and we know that God was with Abraham. We can point out with Sodom and Gomorrah. We can point out God being with Abram as he went forth and brought Lot out of captivity before he went into Sodom and Gomorrah. As they go into Egypt and God sends Moses into the land back to Egypt, He sends the plagues upon them. If that's not God fighting for His people, His children, I don't know what it is. God willing to punish other nations and fight for His people because He knew and He heard their cries that He's willing to deliver them out. But as you go through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, that is not the only time God is with them. We know that God is there for them as they wandered in the wilderness. You know, as we talk about Moses and him trying to get to the land of Canaan, you know, I always remember the one where he is holding up the staff. You know, he's holding up the staff, and when the staff, his arm would get too tired, and his arm would start to drop, and Israel would start to lose. And so Aaron and Miriam had to hold his arm up, and as they held his arm back up, the staff, again, not that there was really any power in the staff, it was the will of God. God was fighting for the children of Israel. God was delivering His people as long as they put their faith in Him. Of course, we know as we go into Joshua, that God again parts water. He parts the Jordan River this time. They're able to cross over. They go against the walls of Jericho. And as they go up against Jericho again, how can you say it wasn't God fighting for them when the walls just fell flat because they marched around the walls? God was willing to fight for His people. God was delivering them into His hand. Now, when Israel was in sin, God was not with them. As we talk about Ai, the first time they tried to go up against them, they were defeated. They were chased back. But when they rid themselves of sin, and when they're willing to serve God, put God first, God is there for them, and God fought with them. God allowed them to be victorious. as they went up against the five kings and they came up against the children of Israel, they were able to conquer because God was with them. Again, as we go through the book of Judges and you look at all the judges that God raised up, and again, as we have entered into 1 Samuel already, he referred to a few of the judges in that and say, look, God delivers his children when they cry out to him, when they put their idols behind them. He would raise up these judges, these men, and they would deliver them out of captivity. They would go and fight the Philistines. They would bring them out. Gideon taking 300 men, Samson going on his own and fighting and delivering them. Time and again, God continues to deliver his people. And as we go through the kings and the prophets, we can go with, you know, Saul. We've already talked about Saul. Saul has been victorious once. He goes into other battles and fights, and we can get in, and then eventually the Philistines come up against them. David fights Goliath. They chase off the Philistines, and then as Saul tries to get David in trouble, as we'll see, and David ends up being victorious over the Philistines anyways. He says, I want 100. David brings 200. You know, God is with David, delivering them through it. Whether it's David, the one that is physically fighting, but God is with him. Or to the point that God kept the sun still, and it would not go down. It wasn't time of day. It stood still for a little bit. And God allowed them to see and it not get dark so that people could escape. Or God dropping the walls of Jericho. God was fighting for the children of Israel. He was fighting for his people. And it's out of God's love that he was doing. God loves us. And we need to understand there's still an enemy to us that needs to be fought. We need to remember that there is an enemy in which we are fighting today. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, we need our God on our side. 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Here it tells us Satan is still out there seeking whom he may devour. Trying to find that time and moment in which he may pounce on you, may take you down, may drag you out, so that you do not follow God. Satan is out there setting snares, traps, waiting for that perfect moment, looking at what temptations affect you, waiting for those moments of weakness. Satan is out there. And we have to be prepared. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, you turn along with me there. Ephesians chapter 6, I start up in verse 10. Ephesians 6 and verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. See, as we study the Old Testament, yes, we can get caught up and say, well, that was physical battles, that was physical warfare, that David was going out and fighting a physical giant. But again, that proves that God was with him. And though it is a spiritual warfare that we have today, God is there fighting for us. God is there for us as God was there for David. He is there to help deliver us over these temptations, to help us to overcome false teachers, to be ready to give an answer when people ask questions. God is there to deliver us. He's there to help us to overcome Satan as he tempts us. Because we are battling today. And the only way to be victorious, the only way to be victorious is to be in the Lord. Again, time and again, we see it as we study the Old Testament. If they were not with God, they were not victorious. Time and again, they would lose. They would go into captivity. They lost the ark. We know that the temple was destroyed, the walls were destroyed. They would have to go forth and try to rebuild it. And as they're rebuilding it, people are coming back in to try to stop them. No different today. as Satan, through his servants, trying to tempt us and cause us to stumble, destroy the temple of God, which we are. That as we try to rebuild our faith, start studying the Word of God, Satan's going to try even harder to destroy it even more, to keep you from building upon the foundation that our Lord has built. But we have to turn to God. The only victory we can find is in the Lord. Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21, and turn along with me in verse 37. Proverbs 21 and verse 37, as it reads here. I got the wrong verse here. Move on to 1 Corinthians 15:57. Maybe it'll come to me what I had in mind there. First Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse 57. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57. Here it brings out, it says, "But thanks be to God who gives to us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And so here bringing out, be in the work of the Lord. Why? Because victory's in the Lord. Victory is in Christ, and it's only through Christ in which we can gain that victory and know and have confidence in that. That's what it says here. Have confidence in that, knowing that your work, knowing that as you teach the truth, knowing that your time that you take aside to come together with your brothers and sisters, the time that you've taken aside to stir up love and good works, to be encouraged yourself, to be built up, is not in vain. Because we do their old things in spirit and in truth, and therefore we are serving God. And God is with us, and He is strengthening us so that we can be victorious, that we can overcome these temptations as we face them. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. Turn along with me there. As it reads, it says, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Again, here it speaks about the love of God. It speaks about the Lord and what He has done for us, and that nothing can separate us from His love, and therefore we are more than conquerors. How? Through the love of God. Because God is there for us, willing to fight for us, willing to assist us, willing to help us to overcome our temptations, knowing that He is always there for you and for me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." God making sure that Satan doesn't go too far. God does not give him the power to tempt us more than we can bear. He will make sure in anything that we face today, He knows. He knows that you can overcome those temptations. He knows that you can be faithful in all these things. And again, I sit back and we study the Old Testament. We study about the children of Israel. We study about the kings. We talked about it this morning as we talked about Saul and trying to look at it from Saul's eyes. And we started saying, well, you know, if he was on this mindset, could he have justified somewhat his mindset and what he was doing? But God says no, because God gave him a way to be faithful to him. He didn't stick with it. We look at David and see how many times he was tempted to take Saul's life, tempted to give in to other things, and yet he remained faithful. And again, I always go back to Job when I read this verse. I just look at it. God knew how much Job could take. And so at first, God told Satan, yes, you can do whatever you want, just don't touch him.
And after that time passed, God was willing to allow Satan to touch Job himself, but not take his life. And he knew that Job had enough faith, that Job was strong enough to overcome the temptation Satan had put at his door. To be faithful, to not curse God, to not blame God. God is there for us, making sure that we have a way of escape. God is willing to fight for you. He's willing to fight for us. But understand, God is fighting through us. That if you're not helping and assisting in the fight, then it's not going to work. If we're just waiting for God to take control and to change certain things, we have to be willing to pray to Him. We have to be willing to search His Scriptures. We have to be willing to stand up for what is right. We have to be willing to let God work through us through the Word of God. Obeying what He has commanded us to do in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you turn along with me there. And in verse 3 through 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, says, "For though we walk in flesh, we do not war according to flesh. For the weapons or warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing in every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Again, what God has given to us is not physical, not for a physical fight, but He gives us what we need to be able to cast down arguments in order to continue in His work. Again, we go back to Ephesians chapter 6 and read about the armor of God. Again, it's not a physical sword. It's not a physical helmet. It's not a physical shield. But it's the Word of God. It's grace. It's righteousness. It's the gospel. It's our faith. The things we gain as we study and as we grow. This is God fighting for us. The faith that we have to have in God. And understanding that God's willing to fight for us if we're willing to fight for Him. Fight with Him. Children of Israel, any of the children of Israel could have stood up and fought Goliath. They'd have put their faith in God. They'd have put their faith in God, trusted in God, approached Goliath just like David did, saying, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands." The Lord. Having faith and confidence, knowing that God has provided for us in the past. He has delivered us against our enemies by, you know, dropping the walls, by sending Samson against more than enough to face one man. Gideon was able to use 300, and that's what David relied on. David said, "God has delivered me a bear, a lion. And He will take care of this giant also, this uncircumcised Philistine." We have to have confidence in God. Confidence in the Lord that as we go out and we try to reach out to others and we go out and teach and we shine our example, we study the Bible openly, we pray that God will help us when those questions come, or God will help us when others try to tell us we need to stop. Because we have faith in Him, because we're going to pray about it, because we're going to search the Scriptures to gain strength through Him. We have to be willing to continue to do these things in the Lord. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 13, Romans chapter 6 and in verse 13 here says, "And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." Let our instruments, it's talking about our hands, our arms, our legs, our mouth, our ears, our eyes, what we do from day to day, don't let them be for sin. Don't let our eyes get caught up in lusting and coveting after worldly possessions. Rather, let them be focused on the good deeds, the good works, looking and seeking because you're zealous for good works. Let our hands be busy in helping others and our feet be swift to go and assist, to be doing the work of God. God works through you. God works through me. We are instruments of righteousness. Again, Paul makes it clear as we go to 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, as he brings out, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the course. But yet we know that Paul doesn't take credit for saving people. Right? We go back to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1. And see there that he gets on to them because they are divided. Satan has tempted them by who they have been baptized by. I'm of a Paul. I'm of Apollos. This is who baptized me, so I'm holier than you are. I mean, he's well known. He went to this college and he did this and he did that. And he's debated people. Paul says, I didn't die for you. Your sins are not washed away by my works, by my sacrifice. Christ died for us. So again, Paul was fighting the good fight, but God was working through. Paul was doing the work of the Lord and giving credit to God. Just as we go forth and we spread the word of God, we teach others, if we can get other people into this building, you get them into your home and study and hear the truth, give glory to God. Because we are simply doing what he has commanded us to do. It is his word that is sharp as a two-edged sword that can pierce the soul. So we extend the invitation, if his word has pierced your soul today, has reached your heart, and you're ready to obey the gospel, then make sure you do that tonight. Confess your faith, repent of your sins, and be baptized, washing your sins. If you're here this evening, you've obeyed the gospel, but you've taken a few blows from the temptations of this world. Your armor seems to be growing weak, and you need prayers of the brethren. You need to set up some more extra Bible study to strengthen your faith. Whatever it is we can do to assist you, to help you draw nearer to God, to help you remain faithful and continue to fight that good fight, to continue to run that race. Please, will you let it be known as we stand and sing?
Someday you'll stand at the bar on high. Someday your record will sing. Someday you'll answer the question of blood. What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be?